Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give us so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Friends, do please grab a seat as we look at this together. Have the passage open if you can. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 26. And look, I wanted to ask you a really simple question. We talked a bit about food that we like. We talked a bit about the fact that we need food. We all know those things, don't we? But I wonder, where do you normally get your food? Can anybody tell me where they get their food? Don't be shy. Hilary, where do you go for your food?
I go to the local vegetable and fruit store in New Haven.
Ah, so you're a bit posh then. You don't go to the supermarket. No?
I do go to the supermarket. I like to buy local stuff if I can.
Me too. That's wonderful. So a local market. Where else? Where else do we go?
Aldi.
Sainsbury's. Yeah. Sainsbury's. So we've got an Aldi person, we've got a Sainsbury's. Does anybody have their food delivered to them by like a Tesco delivery driver? Yeah? Yeah? Is anybody a bit more upmarket and they have their food delivered by Ocado? Ooh. No? Okay, right. Do you know, we had a few hands up at Denton when I asked that question. A few Ocado deliveries at Denton. I normally have mine either delivered to me by Tesco or more often than not, I head over to Sainsbury's. Now, the thing about Sainsbury's is you walk in. This is at least how it works in my house. I walk in, right, and we get to the doors. Lucy, she charges off, right? She's away, literally a cloud of smoke as she runs in. And I'm the one who's entrusted with picking up the trolley, right? That's my job. I've got to pick up the trolley. And by the time I get the trolley and I go into Sainsbury's, she's gone. She's gone like a puff in the wind. I don't know where she is. And because there's very little phone reception in Sainsbury's, I always go through this exact same ritual of wandering up and down the aisle looking for Lucy. You know how it goes. It's like this, isn't it? It's like... and then back round again. Yeah? Every single time. And then by the time I find Lucy, she's already, you know, carrying all sorts of things that we need. And then the shop starts in earnest. And we begin to load up the trolley, you know, with red kidney beans and with fruit and with fish and all the things that we need, right, from the shelves on which they're all stacked. But the thing is, after you do that, before you go home with those goodies, what do you need to do? In theory, at least, you ought to be paying, right? So you go up and you pay. And the thing about shopping nowadays is, it's very different to the way that it used to be even 5 years ago. I mean, I remember going up to the till with like a big wad of cash and handing it over to the person at the till. But now, which is why I've got this here, now all you need is one of these and your fingerprint. And you go over there and you go to the screen and you just press your phone on there, you put your fingerprint on the card machine, and you're away and you've paid, yeah? It is so simple nowadays to get hold of food, isn't it? Supermarket, Apple Pay, and you're away. The thing about this whole process, though, is that it can so easily blind us to the reality of where our food really comes from, can't it? This might be a surprise to you, but our food does not come from shelves. It does not come ultimately from warehouses. Now look, I've got a little prop here, and I wonder if anybody can kind of see, look really, really, really close. Well, I mean, look, you're probably going to have to use your imagination. What is it I'm holding here? It's a little seed. Look, I'm gonna just maybe give a couple of these out here because I want you to see just how tiny they are. Look, there you go. It's a sunflower seed, and this is. There you go. And that's it. And how about we move on to Lauren and Yazusa over here as well? There we go. I've got some more here. Now, the thing about seeds is look, they are absolutely tiny, aren't they? And they look completely and utterly lifeless in every way to the naked eye, don't they? But do you know what? This most amazing thing happens where somebody gets something like this, yeah, and they plant it into the ground and they cover it over with soil, and then, you know, the heavens pour out their dew, don't they? It rains, and then some sun shines on it. And look, I've got to be honest with you, I was never very good at science at school. I've got no idea how this whole process happens. But isn't it just an absolute, isn't it just an absolute miracle, right? That something like this, over a period of time, with just a bit of rain, a bit of sun, a bit of soil, turns into all of this stuff here, turns into this. I mean, that is an incredible miracle, isn't it? And like, even if you did pay attention in those classes at science, Ollie's actually really good at science, aren't you, Ollie? He's in top sets, embarrassingly, in science, because he loves it so much. Even people who understand how these things work, it is an untold wonder, isn't it? The way in which our food comes up from the ground. And you know what? Although nowadays, because we go to Sainsbury's, because we get food from Apple Pay, we're very tempted to think that that's where our food comes from. It's this kind of whole mechanistic process of warehouses and lorries. We tend to miss where our food comes from. Look, in agrarian societies, where people have to farm their own food, where people see it grow, where they realise the care and the beauty that goes in to making our food, it is so much more common to understand where that food really comes from. That food comes to us from the goodness and the provision and the kindness of God. Don't ever miss that. And that is really what our first reading was about, the reading that was read to us by Dennis. So in Deuteronomy chapter 26, God's people Israel are instructed by Moses to remember that God, he rescued you from the land of slavery, and he brought you into this wonderful land where all this food grows up from the ground. Don't you forget where that comes from. Don't you forget that that is my provision, my goodness, my blessing is what God is saying. So that's what number one, that's point number one. Don't ever forget where your food comes from. Don't be misled by the ease of going to Sainsbury's. And number two, our response as we realise the source of where our food really comes from, that it comes from a good and kind God, our response is to be generous with what we have. So verse 10, given everything that you've done, God, now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Do you know that's the way that it goes in Christian life. As we realise the source of our blessings, we are then turned out into generosity towards others. Generosity towards God, aren't we? At least that's the way it ought to be. Do you know, if your heart is not generous, it is probably because you're failing to recognise the source of the blessings that you have. Probably because this whole process of going to Sainsbury's and the whole process of getting money in your bank account, the whole process of having all the things that you have, has blinded you to the fact that these are things that God has given you. And he's given you the wonderful joy of being able not only to receive those things, but to turn them out for the blessing of others. We're a blessed people, and we're equipped to be generous towards God and to others. So that's overall point number one. But overall point number two is an even more important point. And we got this in the second reading that I just read from John. Because do you know what? Harvest is a wonderful festival because it reminds us of one of the most, probably the deepest spiritual truth that we could possibly ever learn. And that spiritual truth is this: that we have no life in ourselves. Why do I say that? Well, the reason that you need to eat, yeah, is because if you didn't eat, if you didn't receive a life source, an energy source from outside of yourself, you would very, very quickly fade away, wouldn't you? You'd waste away. Our bodies need life given to them from the outside. That's what food is. That's what drink is. And that is a reminder to us of a very important spiritual lesson, that we don't have life in and of ourselves. There is no infinite power cell, power battery within us that keeps us going. No. We need life given to us from the outside. And God has arranged the world deliberately so that we know that. So that you know that. And the question for us, I guess, is, well, when it comes to food, when it comes to drink, we all know that it keeps us going, doesn't it? It keeps us healthy, it keeps us fit. At least good food does. But there will always come a point, no matter how much food we have, no matter how much drink we have, where it will not prove to be enough. Where our life expires, ultimately. Where we come to a point that even more food from the outside won't do. And so the question for us is there a food out there? Is there a drink out there that will keep us alive forever? And Jesus says in John chapter 6, wonderfully, amazingly, that there is such a food. There is such a drink. Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He goes on, verse 51, just after our reading, he's still continuing the same discourse. He says, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. You see, Jesus is different to us. Jesus, insofar as he is God, he has life within him. Right? He lives forever. He has always existed. He will always exist. He comes from above. He's from outside. He is itself life. And he has come down into our world to share that eternal life with all who will receive it. It doesn't mean that our physical bodies won't die. We know they will. We know from painful experience that they will. But what it does mean is that when he returns, that we, because of him, will be raised to life again. There is a food source. There is a drink source. Not literally, but spiritually, that we can feed on, and that life is Jesus, given to us so that we might live forever. We're celebrating Holy Communion this morning, aren't we? And Holy Communion is a sign, a sacrament of precisely those things. A sign to us that we have no life within us. You should know that if you have a body and you eat food, and we all do, don't we? And as we gather here, we confess, Jesus, we need you. If we're to keep going, we need you. And so as you come forward to receive the bread and wine, come and receive him. Come and receive his life. Come acknowledging that you have no life in yourself. And you're not receiving him as an add-on to your life. You're receiving him because he is life, and you need him. And I need him. So let me pray as we close, and we'll just gather up all those thoughts. and turn them to him in thanks and praise. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to us. We acknowledge, Father, that there is no life within us. And so we need him. Every time we thirst, every time we hunger, that is a reminder to us from you that we need life given to us from the outside. And so I just pray that each one of my friends who are listening this morning, that we would look to Jesus for life, not to other things, to Jesus for life, life from above, life that endures beyond the grave. And Lord, this morning as we gather to receive Holy Communion, we come to receive you, Jesus. We come to receive your life. Be to us sustenance. Be to us nourishment. Be to us growth. Be to us life, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen.